Welcome to New Generation Church with Pastor Eddie Merino.
I want to share with you this morning not to forget that we have a help. Amen. That we have help. But how many know that help is always present? Amen. Help is always present. And in Psalms 121, verse 1, do you have it with me? Praise Jesus. The Bible reads, I will lift up my eyes to the hills, from whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Follow me through verse 3. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he keeps Israel, shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. When you read Psalms 121, notice that the writer, he says, I will lift up my eyes to the hills, from whence comes my help. Many believe that the singer of this psalm looked to the hills. I want you to hear me what I'm going to say. Likely it is believed that the distant hills of Jerusalem, as the writer and everyone traveling with them, as they're traveling towards Jerusalem, to the place, the city, to fulfill their pilgrimage. And it is believed that the singer, he is still far away from Jerusalem, the place of worship. But on his journey over there, him and all the travelers that are going with them, he is lifting his eyes towards the distant mountains. He's not that very far. But even at that, he knows that safety is present as he's getting closer. Now, you got to remember that even before they arrive to Jerusalem, where God's blessing was present, the protection, he was watching over them in the journey. That, in other words, even before he gets to Jerusalem, before he gets to the place of worship, on his journey, he knew that God was present also to help. Even though the destination is far away still, but he knows that God can help him on his journey. It's like, let me put it this way, like this morning, you are here to be in the house of God, the house of worship. Because let me say something first. Did you know that God created you and me? And this is the most important thing in the life of a believer, is that before anything else, you and I are worshipers of God. You and I are worshipers. Before you are a servant, you are a leader, you are a man or a woman of God, you and I are worshipers first. And it is important, church, like this morning, that you're here in the house of God. And as we always, you hear us say that you ought to come with an expectation to receive from God. But I also want to remind you, and I want to encourage you, that even before you got to the house of God, the place of worship, how many believe that God can help you on your way over here in your vehicle? How many know that God can help you even while you're getting ready in the morning? How many know that God can help you even when you're having a hard day, a difficult day? God can meet you right there where you are. And the writer, he says, I will lift up my eyes to the hills. There's a lot of commentary on this that the hills, you know, people looked up to the hills because of the god of fertility, or because up in the hills there were other gods. And the writer, he says, I will lift up my eyes to the hills, but he says, from whence comes my help? Like saying, my help doesn't come from the hills. But he says in verse 2, he says, my help comes from the Lord. Church, this morning I want to remind you that your help comes from the Lord. This was the traveler's goal. This was his goal, that his help would come from God who made heaven and earth. Remember that, church. I don't know what you might be facing this morning, but just remember what verse 2 says. My help comes from the Lord. Psalms 46 verse 1 says it this way. Look what he says. God is a refuge and strength. But notice the rest of the verse, what it says. A very present help in trouble. You know what that means? That means that right now, whatever you might be facing, God is a present help. He is there to help you. Hear me. In times of trouble. Let me remind you, church. God is your help. He's number one. He's priority. Don't ever permit anyone or anything or something else to be your help. God is your help. Psalms 124 verse 8 says this. Look what the Bible says. Our help is in the name of the Lord. How many believe that? He says our help is in the name of the Lord. Again, who made heaven and earth. Church, God's going to help you. He's going to help you. But see, it has to come out of your mouth. You have to declare it and say, my help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. How many believe that this morning, church? That your help, my help, comes from the Lord. Why? Let me ask you, do you need power? This morning, are you weak? Are you tired? You don't have strength? You need a triple shot? Let me give you a little funny story. When I was on vacation, I don't know what happened. I asked, can I get a shot? So I'm thinking it's a coffee. So they give me this little cup, and I'm looking at it. Go, but before that, I asked, it's a one shot. I go, this is just me, but it's going to be, but I take the blame. I go, well, what's the difference between one shot, two shots? He goes, the two shots just has a little bit more. So anyways, I'm thinking I'm getting a hot coffee, and they gave me this little cup, and he goes, well, that's what you order, one shot. So I'm thinking it was like a macchiato or something. So anyways, I mean, a shot gives you a boost. Amen. Gives you power. But church, this morning, are you in need of power? The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28, 29, the New Living Translation. He says, the Bible says, have you never heard? Have you never understood? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of all the earth. Now notice what he's going to say now. He says, he never grows weak or weary. Aren't you glad that the God that we serve, our God never grows weak and he never goes weary? That's a blessing. Why? Because that shows me that the God we serve is mighty and powerful. And the Bible says, no one can measure the depths of his understanding. Now notice what he says. He gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. So this morning, church, in whatever area that you need power and you need strength, don't forget, God is your helper. Or maybe this morning you feel, again, I'm going to say it again, you feel weak. Paul, the Apostle Paul, in the New Testament, not the Old, the New Testament, in the book of Romans, Romans 8:26, this is what the New King James Version says. I want you to hear me what I'm going to say. Likewise, the Spirit or the Holy Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. How many know that? That we can be, as humans, we can be weak. What do I mean by that, weak? That means that sometimes, hear me, sometimes we don't know how to pray. We don't know what to say. As man or as a human, we're limited. And Paul, he says, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. Look what he says. For we don't know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So, what Paul is saying is that when we are weak, we do not know exactly how we should pray for. Have you ever been there? You don't know how to pray. You don't know what to say in your normal language. Because a lot of things can be happening at the moment. But we are blessed, church, that thank God himself, through the Holy Spirit helps me and helps you by making intercession for us. Now, I'm going to say this because we are Pentecostals and we believe in the gifts of the Spirit. Amen? 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 So, many believe, I believe, that the help that we get from the Holy Spirit many times, I said many times, may include even the gift of speaking in other tongues. That's if you've been baptized with the Holy Spirit and with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. What do I mean by that? That many times when we pray in the Spirit or we pray in other tongues, we are praying in an unknown language. Sometimes we don't know what to pray in our normal language, but when we pray in the Spirit or in other tongues, our spirit prays the perfect will of God. Now, let me throw a little bit more. Now, this is not a message on speaking in tongues, but it has to do that the Holy Spirit helps us. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2. Look what Paul says. Look what he says. The New King James Version. For he, speaking of a believer, who speaks in a tongue, does not speak to men, but to God. Anytime that you pray in the Spirit in another tongue or in tongues, you're not praying to men. You are speaking to God. You're praying to God. But notice that the Bible says, for no one understands him. However, in the Spirit, he speaks. Look what the Bible says. He speaks mysteries. That's why, church, if you've been baptized with the Holy Spirit, I encourage you that you pray in the Spirit. Because you're not talking to man. You are talking to God directly. I mean, come on, church. Who would not want to have a direct line with the Almighty God, the God that can help you and can help me? And then he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 14 and 15, he says, look what Paul says. For if I pray in a tongue, he says, my spirit prays. He says, but my understanding is unfruitful. And then he says, what is the conclusion then? I will pray. Look what Paul says. I will pray with the Spirit, and I will also pray with understanding. In other words, he's saying, I will pray in other tongues, but I will also pray in understanding the normal way with my language. And he says, I will sing with the Spirit, and I will also sing with understanding. So it means that it enables us to communicate with God. Because God, once again, he is our what? Our helper. With God in a manner that there is no limit, church. Now, just because we pray in the Spirit or we pray in other tongues, that doesn't make us more spiritual. Now, you can pray in your normal language, your normal understanding, and God hears and answers. But Paul also says, but if you've been baptized with the Holy Spirit and you pray in another tongue, that is a blessing itself also, because you're not talking to man, you're talking directly to God. But what I want to get to, church, is that may we never forget that our help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. So this morning you might be afraid about something. There might be fear. But let me remind you, God is your helper. I love what Hebrews chapter 13 verse 6 says. Notice, I want you to get this, church. Notice that the writer, he says this. So we may boldly say. Notice he doesn't say, hey, don't say it weakly. Don't say it afraid. Don't say it doubting. Don't say it like you're not believing it. The writer, he says this. Notice, what does he say? The New King James Version, he says, so that we may boldly, that means boldly means with confidence. Church, how many know that it makes a difference when we speak the word with confidence? Like we really believe it. And he says, so we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, the Lord is my helper. The Lord is, tell your neighbor, the Lord is my helper. Imagine somebody tells you, who helps you? Oh, my Lord. No. He says, say it boldly. Say it boldly. I'm not afraid. I don't have fear. My God is my helper. Everything is going to be okay. Hallelujah. Everything is going to be well. So remember, verse 2, my help comes from the Lord. Look at verse 3. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Now, I want to say this, church. God, hear me. This is very important. God will not allow your foot to be moved. Another translation uses the word stumble. How many believe that? I'm going to say it again. God will not allow your foot to be moved or to stumble. How? How can that happen? As long as you recognize and you know that God is the one that helps you. The moment you remove the help from God from your life, then you will stumble. Did you know that that word, very important, that word moved? He says, he will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. He who keeps you, that word keep. Right there in that passage, it's written 6 times. You know that the number 6 is the number of man. Some say it's the number of the devil. I just want to tell you this. You got to remember this. As a man, you got to remember that God keeps you. God protects you. Because sometimes as humans, as a man, we got to be reminded, church, that God is the keeper of your life. He's your protector. And that's why when you study that passage, they say that it's 6 times that word, keep, the word shamar. It means to protect. You got to know, church, that no one is going to take care of you and no one's going to protect you how God does. And Satan's got to know, too, that God takes care of us, that God protects us. As long as that we recognize and we know and we say, my help comes from the Lord. 1 Samuel 2:9, the Bible says this. He will guard the feet of his saints. How many believe that? That you know that the Bible says you and I are saints. Amen. Tell your neighbor, even though you don't look like one, but you're a saint. Amen. The Bible says he will guard the feet of his saints. Proverbs 3:23 says this. Then you will walk safely in your way. How many want to walk safely in your way, in your journey? And he says, and your foot will not stumble. Hallelujah. Now, I want to say this. Notice, look at verse 3. Look at verse 3 and 4. It says, he will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Remember that word, slumber. Now look at verse 4. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. How many are grateful that your God, my God, he don't take naps? Hallelujah. He don't sleep. He's alert. He's awake. He's alive. Amen. That means that when I need God, I most need him. I need help from him. He's available. He's available. He's available. He has the willingness. Now notice that the word slumber, these two words, the word slumber and the word sleep, are two different words. The word slumber in the Hebrew just means sleep. Our God doesn't sleep. Our God is wide awake. But the other word, sleep, in verse 4, it's a different word. That word means this. It means to be slack. Did you know that our God doesn't slack it? He don't slack. Our God doesn't take breaks. It also means to grow old. Our God never grows old. Our God is always fresh. God is always fresh. God is always present. But it also means stale. Our God never goes hard and stale. God is always active. And that's why the Bible says, he will not allow your foot to be moved. He will keep. He who keeps you will not slumber. He doesn't sleep. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. He doesn't slack it, church. That's why you got to remember this, church. Sometimes, you know, we think, you know, well, I already went to the Lord once. I already went 10 times. Guess what? You keep coming. I mean, if the Bible tells me, ask and you shall receive, that means that if I ask, I'm going to receive. If he says, keep on knocking, I'm going to keep on knocking. If he says, if you believe, everything you ask for in prayer, you will receive. Guess what? I'm going to keep on asking. Because remember, our God, he's not asleep. Our God doesn't slack it. Our God, you know, he's alive. And you need to understand this, church. That's why the writer, he says, he, my help, comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Now, I'm going to read you something real quick. If you'll go with me to 1 Kings chapter 18, real quick. I want to get my point across. Because you got to remember, church. That's why we go to God. Our God is alive. Our God is not dead. Our God is for real. Our God isn't made out of wood. Matter of fact, the Bible says that he's the creator of heaven and earth. Now, if you go to 1 Kings chapter 18, the New Living Translation, look at verse 16. Verse 16. How many can praise the Lord this morning? The Bible says, so I want you to just follow me. So Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him. And Ahab went to meet Elijah. So Ahab and his wife Jezebel, I mean, these people were crazy. They believed in their own gods and they hated Elijah. Why? Because Elijah always was bold. I mean, he was straightforward. He would pray and things began to happen. So the Bible says that it happened when Ahab saw Elijah. Ahab tells him. He says, is that you? And notice what he tells him. Is that you, you troublemaker? Because did you know that in the book of Acts, that's what they told the believers in Christ. These people are turning our city upside down. When you do crazy things for God, church, praise God. Hallelujah. So when Ahab, he sees him, he says, is that you, O trouble, Israel? And he answered, I have not. Look what Elijah says. I have not troubled Israel. He says, but you and your father's house have. And look what Elijah tells him. He tells him, he says, in that you have forsaken the commandments of the Lord. In other words, you guys don't want nothing with God. And he says, and in matter of fact, you guys don't want nothing with God, and you guys are following the gods of Baal. You guys are following other gods. But notice that the Bible says, he says, look, let's do something. He says, send and gather all Israel to me on Mount Carmel. He says, the 450 prophets of Baal. So Elijah, what he's about to do, he's about to challenge them. Did you hear me? He's going to challenge them. And see, whose God is greater and more powerful? And he says, the 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of Asherah who eat at Jezebel's table. And the Bible says that Ahab sent for all, for all the children of Israel and gathered all the prophets together on Mount Carmel. And the Bible says that Elijah came to all the people and he said this. Look what Elijah tells everyone. He says, how long will you falter between two opinions? He says, if the Lord is God, follow him. Church, this morning, how many believe that the Lord is God? That's the reason why what? We follow him. And he says, but the people answered him not a word. Then Elijah said to the people, I alone am left with the prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450. Then he goes on to say, therefore, let them give us two bulls and let them choose one bull for themselves, cut it in pieces and lay it on the wood, but put no fire under it. Notice what Elijah's doing. And he says, and lay it on the wood, but put no fire under it, and I will prepare the other bull and lay it on the wood, but put no fire under it. So he's giving a bigger challenge, because how many know that as a believer in Christ, you got to know who you serve? Amen. You got to believe that whenever you pray or you ask God, you got to believe that God will do it. So Elijah, he's not just speaking out of his mind. Elijah knows his God. And Elijah knows that God is about to help him. So notice, then he tells them, then you call on the names of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. Look what he tells them. And the God who answers by fire, he is God. So all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. And look what Elijah does. Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, choose one bull for yourselves and prepare it first, for you are many, and call on the name of your God, but put no fire under it. So they took the bull which was given them, and they prepared, and they called on the name of Baal. Look what he says. They're crying. These prophets, they're crying out to their God, Baal, from morning, evening till noon. And they're just crying and saying, Baal, hear us, answer us. But the Bible says that there was no voice. No one answered. Then they leaped about the altar which they had made. And all the morning, the Bible says that all the way till noon. Think about this. I mean, who's going to serve a God that doesn't hear you? Doesn't answer you? And I just showed you in the Bible that our God, he never sleeps. Our God is wide awake, and he answers when we recognize and say, my help is Almighty God, the creator of heaven and earth. But it gets better. So it comes by noon and nothing happens. So what does Elijah do? He's mocking them. Woo, he's just crying aloud. He says to them, cry aloud, he says, for he is a God. And then he says, either your God is meditating or he is busy. Or maybe he's on a journey. That's why you're not getting no answers. But then he says this, or perhaps he is sleeping and must be awakened. So they cried aloud and they cut themselves as it was their custom, and blood gushing out of them. Nothing was happening. Notice that he says, maybe your God is asleep. Church, our God is awake and he's alive. And as long as you recognize and you know that God is your help, God will always protect you. God will always keep you, church. And it's so easy to forget that our God is our help. And we could come up with a lot of things, you know, in our mind. We fight it, you know, why this, why that. Church, at the end of the day, God is our help. God is our hope. And you find out when you read the Bible, after all this happened, you read how Elijah, the Bible says that he prayed to God. And like this, God sent fire from heaven. And he did business. That's the God we serve, church. God will never embarrass you. I said, God will never embarrass you. That's why I like Paul when he says, my God. Because you got to know, church. Nobody, don't do secondary stuff. Oh, I serve the God of brother and sister. No. You got to say, my God takes care of business. My God supplies all of my needs. My God gives me strength. My God fills me with his Holy Spirit. My God raises me up. My God gives strength to the weak. You got to know God in a personal way, church, this morning. Let me go back. Psalms 122. I'm going to finish the sermon. Look what he says. Look what he says. The Lord, verse 5. Remember, church, God will never allow your foot to be moved, man. You're never going to stumble. As long as you know that your help comes from God. What a blessing, church, to say, you know what? Long as I seek God, I put God first. Seek God in his kingdom and all the things will be added unto me. God has my back. He protects me. And he says, verse 4, behold, he keeps Israel, shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. Look at what he's saying. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. From all, God will preserve you. He will protect you from all evil. He shall preserve, look what he says, your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going in out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. You know why? Because the writer recognizes, he says, my help comes from the Lord. Church, as long as you know, man, and like it says in Hebrews, you got to say boldly, I don't fear nothing. My help comes from the Lord. He's my helper. He's my helper. And you got to believe, church. Don't matter what. Here's the thing. What I see is that I think we only believe God to a certain extent, but not all the way. But you got to believe God that he takes care of you. He protects you. At all times. Not just the small stuffs. You know, sometimes we treat God like if only God can do certain things, but not all things. Oh, church. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. What God did in the Bible, God is doing. He still does it today. That's the reason why we humble ourselves. That's why we depend on God. That's why the psalmist talks about run. We run to the fortress. He is our refuge. And notice he says, the Lord will preserve your going out and your coming in. How many believe that? Like what God says in the book of Deuteronomy, blessed shall you be when you come in. And blessed shall you be when you go out. Church, this morning, you got to believe that you're going to be blessed coming in and you're going to be blessed going out. The Lord, and you got to believe the Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before, look what he says, before your face. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. That's the God we serve. That's the God we serve. And he says, the Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in. And he says, from this time forth, right now, and forevermore. God's going to take care of you, church, protect you. As long as you know that God is your helper, the creator of heaven and earth. That's why we're not going to fear tomorrow. You know, this and this and this. We have faith in God. And I want to finish a real life story that I read. The man who gave his shoes. The story, it's a true story. It happened in 2007. It was during the cold winter 2007 in New York City. A homeless man sat barefoot on the sidewalk in Times Square. A young tourist from Arizona snapped a photo of him. But just moments later, the story says, something extraordinary happened. A New York City police officer, Larry DePrimo, the story says that he approached the homeless man, not to tell him to move along, but to kneel down and give him a new pair of boots and thermal socks. Officer DePrimo had noticed a man shivering and barefoot. So he went into a nearby Skechers store, used his own money to buy warm boots, and the story says, and came back to help. The moment was caught on camera and went viral around the world. Not because of the boots, but because of compassion. When asked why he did it, Officer DePrimo simply said, the man had blisters on his feet. And he goes on to say, I had to help. Let me remind you. God has compassion over your life. You might have blisters, but God will always, he can do it directly, and God can use people to help you. So it doesn't matter, church, what challenge or what you're going through, God hasn't forgotten about you. And he never will. And he will never forsake you. But here's the key, church. You have to know that your help comes from God first. He's first. God is first, church. Everything. You think God doesn't know what you need? He doesn't know. But he's waiting on you to say boldly, like it says in Hebrews, I will not fear. He will help you. And the only reason why, I'm going to tell you straightforward, the only reason why you haven't gotten the help or you haven't come out where you need to come out from or to be able to do whatever you're believing God for, whatever, you know, what it is that you're dreaming or that, you know, maybe one day, you know why it hasn't happened? Because you really, 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 really have to go to God and say and humble yourself and say, you know what, Lord, I already used everything I knew, everything I have. There's nothing else. There's nobody else. The only one that can help me is you, God. So like my nephew told me one time, a long time ago, he goes, humble yourself or God will. Humble yourself before God. And say, you know what? This doesn't do this, but God, man. God hasn't forgotten about you. He loves you so much. He paid a full debt for you. Died for you. Gave his life for you. Took your place, my place. So that you can be victorious. You can be blessed. Here on earth, not in heaven. In heaven, you're going to have earth. Here on earth right now, you got to be victorious. Full of God, walk in the Spirit, loving people, and fulfilling your calling, your dream, what God has called you to do. It is now, not tomorrow. Now, church. And God is helping you. Please stand this morning.
Thank you for joining us for today's message at New Generation Church. For more information, visit us at ecngchurch.com.